Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters, May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Alarmy, before we get started, we wanted to make sure you heard the big news. The Alarmist has joined Patreon. Patreon subscribers will get access to our content ad-free, as well as our Aftermath post-interview discussion and final verdict. We'll also be putting out additional bonus episodes and other fun stuff. Here's a preview of Guest Alarmist, where I step aside and let a guest walk us through a personal tragedy, and together the Alarmist crew figures out who's to blame. Here's a preview of our Little Alarms series, only available on Patreon.
I really do believe we're all doing our best.
Sure.
I can think of a few people who I think should try a little harder. Now that I said that out loud. But in general.
You really want to get into it. You might start to rethink that.
Careful, yeah.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now, on to our episode.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario. In my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing, did video kill the radio star? Here's what you need to know. Music was played on radio waves since the first broadcast in 1906, when Reginald Fassenden played O Holy Night on the violin just before reading a Bible verse.
Good evening. This is Professor Reginald A. Fassenden, speaking to you from Brant Rock, Massachusetts, at the tower of the...
For decades, radio was the primary source of access to music for millions of people across the country. In 1928, Edwin H. Armstrong invented FM, or frequency modulation, with better quality and less static than its predecessor, AM, or amplitude modulation. Radio's popularity blew up in the 50s and 60s when the FCC opened up more channels to broadcasters and FM radios became less expensive. The Billboard charts, started in Billboard magazine in 1913, would combine record sales with radio airplay to determine the most popular songs on a weekly basis. If you were a musician and you wanted to reach a broad audience, you'd need to be on the radio. Your song would need to be played on shows hosted by popular DJs like Alan Freed, who famously coined the phrase rock and roll.
Hello, everybody. How are you all? This is yours truly, Alan Freed. Get your dancing shoes on and welcome to the rock and roll dance party.
Freed broke artists like Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and Buddy Holly. That was up until the cable television revolution. It was August 1st, 1981, at midnight, that MTV, a cable channel dedicated to music, introduced itself to the world. And the selection they made to provide their opening salvo was a song by the English new wave band The Bugles, aptly titled Video Killed the Radio Star. Video killed the radio star. Although it struggled in its early years, MTV disrupted how popular music reached listeners in America. And cities that carried the network saw huge spikes in record sales of artists who had music videos. Soon, all the cable companies were offering MTV in their sales packages. Musicians who wanted to reach a wide audience saw the potential in MTV. Music videos brought huge success to the careers of Michael Jackson, Madonna, Nirvana, and gave new life to veteran performers like ZZ Top, Peter Gabriel, and Tina Turner. They also became a new kind of art form, and marketing budgets were used to make elaborate and exciting videos. It was advertising and filmmaking rolled into one. VJs, or video disc jockeys, rivaled DJs as the musical tastemakers of the time. Today, if you tuned into MTV, the odds you'd see a music video are slim. The way we consume music has changed drastically with the popularity of social media, streaming services, YouTube, Spotify, and more. So the question we're wondering is, did the Bugles have it right? Did video kill the radio star? Fun Facts, aka Death Stats. Personal music consumption began in 1889 when pre-recorded phonographs were first sold in the markets. The Bugles broke up less than 2 years after the release of Video Killed the Radio Star. On February 27, 2000, MTV aired its 1 millionth video. They chose to air The Bugles, Video Killed the Radio Star. The second video to air was You Better Run by Pat Benatar. In 2016, it was reported that 93% of the population still tuned in to the radio at least once a week. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is Susie Banacharam. Hi, Susie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're so excited to have you on the show. Just so our listeners know, Susie is the co-host of the podcast In Retrospect with Jessica Bennett. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your show?
Yeah, so Jessica and I have been friends forever since we were little media babies together. We're both journalists. She's at the Times now as a columnist. And this podcast came from a lot of conversations we had late at night. We're both pop culture junkies. So we look back at pop culture moments from the 80s and 90s, things we loved, but through a modern lens to sort of ask ourselves what they taught us and whether or not that was good. Usually the answer is no. And sort of what it means to look back on them. We're trying really hard not to be scolding in any way because these are all things we loved, you know? So we're not trying to be like everything is bad, but it is just funny to look back on things and realize that things that landed a certain way, like we just did an episode about Dawson's Creek, and I hadn't watched it since, you know, it aired the first time.
Yeah.
And I had completely forgotten that there was this love affair, in quotes, between Pacey and his 36-year-old teacher.
That's how they drew you in,
that
right?
That was literally like the first episode it started.
Yes, it started in the beginning. It like goes through basically the entire first season, most of the first season, and it's presented as like a love story, you know, which like in retrospect, you're like, no pun intended, or I guess pun intended.
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of things we're looking at. And it's been really fun. I mean, I'm definitely learning a lot about things that I thought I already knew. So that's always like a fun exercise.
I love that so much. We recently had an experience with the Lorena Bobbitt case.
Oh, yeah. That's a great example.
We were just, you know, rehashing it and being like, whoa, I definitely remembered it totally different. And
differently.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It was sold to us differently in a way.
Yes.
Than what 100%.
Happened. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, part of the show is just inherently media criticism because you can't help but like look back and be like, why were they covering it like this? And, you know, we're journalists. Yeah. So it's not like we're free of any guilt on this category, but it really does show you, like, we did Amy Fisher, which is similar to the Lorena Bobbitt story. It's like she was sold as this like teen harlot, but I mean, she had a 38-year-old boyfriend. I mean, it was right. like not, that's not your boyfriend. Right. That's your statutory rapist.
Yes.
You
know what I mean? It's
like, so it's just interesting sort of how these stories get flattened and you think, oh, this story, I know it so well. And then you discover so many weird little details.
Well, I recommend our listeners check you guys out. Susie, we start off the show by asking our guests, what is something that's recently alarming you? What's something that's keeping you up at night?
I mean, I just feel like in this moment, maybe the answer is like, what is not keeping me up at night? Because, and I have to thank your last few guests for not saying this, but like, just the fact that we're about to enter World War III feels like a good one. Or the fact that we're like dancing near the edge of another Trump candidacy. Like, it feels like everything is keeping me up at night. But lately it's actually mostly anxiety dreams. That's what's keeping me up at night. I have like really intense anxiety dreams about the strangest things. Last night, Elon Musk was running a weed shop in my anxiety dream. Ooh. I guess I was like worried he was going to ruin weed the way he ruined Twitter. Like, I don't know what was happening.
Whoa. Yes, get that guy away.
He's trying to ruin all the things I love. So I don't know.
Yeah, that'll
That's really stressful, honestly.
I know. I have like really genuinely the strangest anxiety dream. So that's mine. That's my real one, even though everything else is also terrible.
Well, welcome to the family. We're so happy you're here.
Your real life trauma is leading to bizarro anxiety dreams. And
amazing.
We support it.
And now we get to dive into... You know, this is actually one of our lighter episodes. There's no actual death, even though killing is in the title. But even before we jump in, I feel like we need to discuss what we're actually blaming here.
Right.
Yeah. Right? This is like a somewhat of a departure for us slightly, right?
But
it's like a ponderance, really. It's like we're asking a question.
Did it kill the radio star? It's a little more high pitched than usual. Yeah.
Did the video kill the radio star?
Yeah.
And if so, who's to blame, right?
And if so, who's to blame?
Yes. So it's a two-pronged attack discussion.
I wonder, Susie, if there's any like old school music videos that you watch that you now feel like are maybe problematic. That might be a fun thing for
retrospect.
That's a great question. I mean, I think there are so many, but the one that just like pops into my head is that Robin Thicke song. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That's like the rapiest song ever.
Yes.
And the video was also equally pretty. And I'm pretty sure that the model in that came forward and said he was actually like, he kind of assaulted her during it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know.
Lines,
we should probably fact check
lines.
That or have legal check that or whatever. But that one feels like a really obvious choice.
Blurred Lines got that. It got immediate blowback too. I mean, there was, it was almost instant blowback.
It was rough. It was a rough song, but like so popular. I mean, it got a little bit of blowback, but not enough not to be like, I think, didn't him and Miley Cyrus do like the big number that year on MTV?
Yeah.
Oh, like,
yeah,
that tie-in.
She was probably like 16 or something.
Yeah. Yes. Looking back, I'm sure we would watch that performance and be like, oh no.
I know. There's so much music that even like lines in music. I was recently hearing that Pitbull song that says, grab somebody sexy, tell them, hey, give me everything tonight. I think about that more than I should.
He probably means consensually.
He does not specify.
Yeah. He doesn't specify, but I'm sure in his mind he's like, with consent.
Yeah. It should be grab somebody sexy, is this okay? And then they should say yes. And then you say, give me then, everything tonight.
Give me everything tonight. Yeah.
Exactly. Also, like, only if you want to.
And a little is fine too. Yeah. Doesn't
yeah.
have
to be everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, how the question is, how did videos affect the music industry, and how did they affect the radio industry in particular? I feel like we can start off by putting MTV right up on the board.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Seems appropriate. Sure.
And, you know, there's an obvious connection here. This is where the video Killed the Radio Star first aired. This is the first music television channel. And let's hear a little, let's get into the history for a second, because I also think we might have to put New Zealand up on the board.
Okay. Oh, I'm
can't
intrigued.
Wait to hear how that yeah. comes on.
Interesting.
Do tell.
Great tease.
So this is from Everything 80s podcast. As pop culture had started to really explode in the 60s, music primarily from America and the UK was starting to be spread all over the world. Music videos did not exist yet, and to see a band on TV meant having to watch a live performance. Mm. Since New Zealand was so far away, it made promoting yourself and your music pretty difficult. A solution arose when the New Zealand Broadcasting Corporation started working with record labels. They figured out it would work best for the labels to supply promotional music clips that they could play on air for no charge. Their artists would now get this extra exposure in a remote and English-speaking part of the world without having to make the super long trip to get there. And that was just a few years. This is me speaking now. That was just a few years before MTV got started. And at first, you know, that was the idea. You send us this promotional video of your band. We're going to play it on MTV. And you're going to get eyes and ears on your, you know, the labels would get eyes and ears on their clients' music.
So the New Zealand Broadcast Corporation would just, you're saying that they would make clips of bands that they represented mm-hmm. and just send it for internal use, basically like industrial videos?
Pretty much, I think. I don't know. I've never, I didn't watch them. But
you didn't.
You weren't in New Zealand at that time.
I don't think they were like speaking about themselves. I think it was like them playing their music.
But I wonder if they like played it on a talk show. Like they were like, oh, here's this band. And then they played it as if they were there, or if they just played the random clips.
Good question. Because I think that they had already started to do some shows. Around the world that were like just like music shows. Right. I know there was a show in the UK. I forget. I want to say it was like Pop Charts or something like that. I forget what the title was, but they would present that week's top 20 pop songs. Yeah.
Sure,
and
sure.
And the artist would come and play
live.
Live. But right. That was more of a live performance.
Right.
So
right.
That was happening, and we did have that you know, in other shows. You know, that's how the Beatles got famous. And yeah. I mean,
I wonder if these little videos too are kind of like planting seeds in like the executives of tomorrow who are like, oh, these little video clips are like kind of effective. Like mm-hmm. maybe we should do more of these, you know. I don't know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how Solid Gold worked? I'm trying to remember because I remember that being on TV when I was little, but I don't. But like that was just like people playing their songs and then people dancing to them, right? Or was that just tape songs?
What is Solid Gold?
It was a variety show.
Okay. Oh, Solid Gold was like the 80s version of American Bandstand,
right? Yeah.
Just like, you know what I mean? It was like people, but it was like very jazzy. There's a lot of jazz dancing.
Oh,
if I
that's
remember correctly.
Cool.
Not jazzy like jazz music, like. Jazzy like jazz hands.
Oh.
Yes.
So like, yeah, like what is that? Like it was sort of like almost musical.
Like it was
theater-y.
Like dance numbers.
Gotcha.
Like,
yeah.
But like Gloria Gaynor would sing like "I Will Survive," okay. And they'd be like dancing or you know stuff like that.
Yeah, like not Star Search, but like because these were like the stars of the day doing their songs. But it was like, look at this musical variety show.
This was like a dance choreographed dance that they would bring on the show versus like Soul Train where they would play the music and people would just dance.
No, I think there was some choreography, but there was also just like people dancing in the audience.
Yes,
well.
They were called like solid gold dancers. Like,
I
know this because they referenced that on the Golden Girls in an episode, and they always had to be like, "What does that mean?"
I mean, I actually like remember seeing it, so I guess I've dated myself, but I do remember being very, very young.
Basically, in
the womb.
Oh my god, you could barely speak.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely just a baby. Like,
yes. Well, we should definitely put solid gold up on the board as like. Boy, if somebody must have seen that and been like, we can improve on this, can't we? We have to be able to.
Right.
So we already have New Zealand and solid gold. We got a lot of suspects already.
Well, I can see how as a television producer, the amount of work that goes into doing a show like Solid Gold is so much more than just literally putting... You know, they would do like change VHS tapes they would play the same music videos over and over.
Like I'm sure we all have one that comes to mind when you think of like an 80s, even like a star singular video.
Oh, yeah. I mean, by the time I started watching MTV, where they were also, you know, I feel like they had Loveline. They were starting to branch out. They were still playing the same videos over it. That was still.
Oh, yeah. Well, like all the Michael Jackson videos, like Beat It and Thriller.
Yes, big time.
I mean, honestly, we probably should put Thriller on the board, right?
We should.
Like, Thriller, I feel like Thriller is the most famous video of all time. It was like practically a little movie.
For many years, I thought that it was a snippet of an actual feature length film. And funny. I was like, where do I find the feature length? Because it felt like it was too big to just be a music video.
Yeah.
Well, there's a history behind that Thriller video going on MTV as well. So in the beginning, they mostly, you know, they marketed themselves as like a rock and roll music television.
Mm-hmm.
Television channel. The first words right out the gate were, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is rock and roll." I believe that was the.
Oh.
Is that really the first? I don't know.
That right feels right. Even if it's not right, we're just going to pretend it's right.
I'm actually almost. I know it says, "Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll."
Yeah.
I want to say. Yeah.
But keep going because this is interesting how it sort of shifted.
Yeah.
Is this what you're getting?
So, yes, exactly. So the history there is they mostly played rock and roll videos and they realized that, first of all, their audience was much younger than they had expected. It was like something like 14 to 24 or something.
So a lot of
what were they
students.
Expecting? Like 50-year-olds, like home from work.
I think
work?
They thought it was like an adult because if you look at the first VJs, mind you, it's the 80s, so everyone looks 20 years older than they really are.
Yeah,
but they literally look like they're. I mean, they look like they're in the 40s. And
yeah,
it's true.
20s.
Everyone in the 80s was wearing a blazer. I never thought about that until this moment.
Yeah,
big
so
hair.
True.
Yeah, they shoulder pads
aged
totally
aged up. For some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, the vibe was very like, try and look older. That's interesting. I've never thought about it, but you're right. Mm-hmm. Who was the famous one? Was it Kurt Loder? Was he the first one?
Kurt Loder
was big
early.
Time. He did the news a lot.
He did the news.
Yeah. He was a little bit later on, though. The original ones back in the 80s, we have Nina Blackwood, Mark Goodman, Alan Hunter, Martha Quinn. There was also Downtown...
Julie Brown. I called her Judy Brown.
That's the first one I recognize, which does make me feel better because I'm like, I was too young to know the first one.
Yeah,
but like to where you were going with that, Reeves, I think, and this sort of question at first or what.
Oh, going to Thriller. Yeah, we digress.
Well, yeah, but like when we think of MTV, I think of targeting to a younger audience and like Madonna and like Nirvana. But early on, they wanted it to be more of like college rock, like kind of not alt, but like old kind of like classic rock.
I don't know if like it was classic, but definitely rock.
Yeah.
I think alternative. I think so.
Pretty alternative and like some new wave, emo, but.
Right. Yes. Well, right. Sort of like counterculture, right? Like they were trying to be like cool. So you can't be like, you know, you can't be like cool and also of the time. Like you, pop music is very, I mean, I say this with love because I love pop music, but it's not cool. As Taylor Swift once said in one of her songs, his music is much cooler than mine.
So they were like,
okay, actually we have to start doing pop instead of rock and roll. Right. And a big part, but then they would only in the beginning would only really focus on white artists. White pop artists. And they would play, I believe, some Tina Turner. There were a few black artists that they played, but it was not many at the time. And they sometimes would play them, you know, it was 24-hour music and they would get, you know, put at like 3 a.m. or something like that. And there was this very up and coming artist, you might have heard of him, Michael Jackson. And the label was trying to get him on, and I believe there was also they started creating this, not creating this narrative, but putting out, you know, this information being like, hey, why is it that MTV isn't playing black artists? And people started taking notice, and other artists, particularly David Bowie, I guess, had an interview with MTV and
called them out for it.
And
that's
amazing. And it was a long, awkward interview, you know,
yeah.
but David Bowie did not stand back. He pressed, and eventually they were trying to get, I think it was Beat It's music video on, and they did.
Which is also a great music video.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's great.
So great.
And then his next big music video was Thriller, and that
popped
was
off.
A moment in music history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people wanted to see it more. And after that, I think a lot of other black artists started being featured. I want to say Lionel Richie was a big one that they featured. I'm sure there's a list that I'm.
Well, and once you get to the 90s, then you start getting into like your more R&B, like you're getting like Ice-T
and then hip hop starts.
LL Cool J.
So it does have as many things do, it has a bit of a racist history when it starts getting go.
cool.
Oopsie, a little bit racist.
Great.
Not surprised, right?
So yeah, you're asking,
not great, but
no.
Yeah. If you're asking, like, did it kill the radio star? Maybe some radio stars it killed, but then on the other hand, some radio stars it took and really amplified.
That's a good point.
It's true.
That's a good point.
I mean, because it's a loop. Like you're taking things from the radio that are popular. These people are trying to get more visibility. Their labels like give them more visibility so they get more popular. So they get a video with people like, wow, they look like that. I like their album. So now I'm going to go back and buy their album or want to listen to it more on the radio. But then you're kind of cutting out the artists who can't break into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's first, I hope we have Thriller up on the board.
Yep.
Yes, it's there.
Okay, great. Let's put up a Need for Globalization.
Okay.
This is from Reader's Digest UK. The music landscape of the 1980s, 90s, and early 2000s was deeply intertwined with MTV and other TV channels dedicated to showing music videos, interviews with bands and artists, and other content related to music. Artists like Michael Jackson, Madonna, Janet Jackson, Nirvana, David Bowie, and many more owe a lot of their success to their popular and far-reaching music videos, the launch of which were huge events for music fans. Millions of people would tune into MTV at the same time to catch the premiere of new videos by big stars. Mm-hmm. So that was like, it was like your Super Bowl, you know,
I remember that. It was like such a big deal. And they would do it like in prime time, if I'm remembering. Like it'd be like 8 p.m. on Thursday.
Countdown to this new video.
Yeah. This is from CNET. In its first year, penetration was relatively small, with MTV airing in just 1.5 million households. But by 1982, the second British invasion had begun, seeing a massive surge in popularity of British music in America thanks to being played on MTV. If radio were not to be killed by video, it had to adapt, and adapt it did. Listeners would phone radio stations requesting songs they had seen played on MTV. The fascination with British music would wane, but MTV's influence would remain firm for years to come, guiding the direction of popular music tastes. So essentially, there were videos on MTV that weren't being played on the radio, and so the people would then call the radio stations and be like, you need to play this song.
Right.
So it was sort of like shifting what we were
listening
to.
But that feels slightly different, right? Because that feels like what you're saying is MTV led to globalization, but it wasn't like it killed that for the radio. It actually encouraged the radio to become more global. So that's actually probably helpful to radio.
Yeah.
Right?
Actually, yeah.
It's true.
So this is where we have to answer the question.
Well, it also
did it kill the radio?
It also seems like the artists who would adapt to this new media were the ones who were going to lead the pack, right? So like if you were to be able to create an amazing new video and create the buzz that comes, all the buzz that comes along with that, that would raise your profile more so than writing a great song or just like getting notoriety on the radio. So, I mean, maybe it's like adaptation or you have a section where you talk about tech advance or something.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, it could just be the tech advancements of the 80s.
Put that on the board.
Yeah.
I mean, well, yeah, sure. I also feel like
you seem very skeptical about that one.
Clayton, well, put it up on the board.
I'm not sure it's tech advances or adaptation.
You guys don't fight.
See what's happening. No, I was just thinking about what Chris was saying, and I was also just thinking, not fully formed thought, but how you take the radio star, you then make a video, but it's not just like,
okay.
It's also like the video like really kind of like further branded the artist, you know, like,
sure.
Yes.
It wasn't like that you just had a video. It was like, what was your video? What did it look like? What was it doing? And they got more and more kind of risque, or like the ones that really stood out from the pack kind of like, you know, that set up expectations. So then that, like, I don't know, like it created a whole new relationship to the artist in the radio environment as well as it did in the video environment. I don't know if that makes sense.
I'm just talking.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
It makes sense. I feel like a way we can.
I guess what I'm just trying to say, like, it to me, it's like the video is like really helping the radio star. Expand their brand.
You're saying like one doesn't replace the other. It just like expands.
Yeah.
The universe.
It's like an amplification of what they're doing.
This might
help. Something else you said was interesting is that someone mentioned Ed Sullivan. I think you mentioned Ed Sullivan earlier. Mm-hmm. And then you talked about how this was the second British invasion. But if you look at the Beatles and Ed Sullivan, in a lot of ways, they could be on the board because they introduced sort of like the importance of television establishing
put them up.
The
Beatles are the first band that like everyone knew what the Beatles looked like, right?
I got news for you. John Lennon's already in the alarmist jail, so.
Oh, no. I can't put the Beatles in twice. That's like just makes me a bad person.
Too late, Susie. You already did it.
What was he
in
it for before?
For the breakup of the Beatles. We did.
Well, in fairness, I prefer to hear that John Lennon is in the jail rather than Yoko Ono.
Right. Yes.
Like unfairly blamed.
Oh, we went that down that rabbit hole. Yeah. I feel like this might help what you were saying, Clayton.
Yes.
Maybe the fact that we have a human connection through a visual medium.
I like. But sure. You're right that some people are really visual learners. I'm a very visual learner.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are.
And also you're saying that humans feel more connected to people they've seen.
Yes.
Or like you become, there's something that's like more, feels more connected about watching someone.
Exactly, Susie.
That feels right.
So
how did you say it again,
based
Rebecca?
On my deep scientific knowledge.
Our human connection through a visual medium.
And we should put that on the board, you think?
Yes, please. This is from Teach Rock. It may be, however, that there is a human desire to see as one hears. For just as soon as Edison's invention revolutionized the experience of listening, the audience for those recordings wanted to see something as they listened. When technology for moving pictures emerged in the 1890s, those images were immediately applied to music. Some suggest that the first music video was created in 1894 by Joseph Stern and Edward Mark, who set a recording of their song, The Little Lost Child, to a moving slideshow and marketed it as an illustrated song. Though the average American did not yet own equipment to play a recording of the song, over 2 million copies of the sheet music of The Little Lost Child were sold. So people bought the sheet music so they could, I don't know, look through the video as they as someone played the song on piano.
It's up on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I know.
So is The Little Lost Child going on the board? Like, do we blame this song? Because I feel like maybe.
Well,
you
we
know?
Could blame the, Joseph Stern and Edward Mark for the idea.
Okay. We'll put them on the board.
We got a lot of stuff on the board, you guys. We thought there wouldn't be someone to blame.
This is going to be our longest. I mean, this
could be
a
deep rabbit hole too. If you just talk about the visual medium of like moving pictures, because like it is, there is some kind of psychological thing that happens, like when you feel like you're connecting with somebody, but you're not. You know what I mean? Like. It gets very sort of meta and weird if you go down that rabbit hole. But let's go there. I mean, what else are we doing?
Let's go there.
I mean, the other thing isn't the 80s sort of when, if I remember my poli-sci glasses correctly, when they started to realize, like, I feel like Reagan was the first candidate that realized that it almost didn't matter what the audio was, but as long as the visuals were patriotic, like as long as he was in front of flags or he was, that it still had a net positive effect. I guess there's something to be said for the fact that, like, even if you're not even listening to the music, but you're just seeing cool pictures and associating it with the artist, that you are just going to have a net positive experience with
that
artist.
That's such a good point, Susie, that I hadn't thought of. And it's manipulative.
It's advertising.
Yeah,
it's advertising.
It's literally, that's why they try and get a visual image in any, like, there's product placement in everything you watch. In every TV show, there's like a cereal box on the counter. That's specifically placed because brands want their stuff to be seen. And the more you are seen, whether you're a product or a person, the more you're in people's minds. And that's how you have the cachet, the popularity.
Look, there's a lot of stuff we have to put up here. I'm going to go through it.
I just want to ask this question because I feel like based on what we're saying, like I feel like we're at a point where maybe we kind of talk about, do we think the video killed the radio star? Because if so, then who's to blame? If not, then who's to blame for what? To not killing the radio star or amplify? Like what is it that we are?
Who's going to jail today?
Yeah, why are we putting these people up on the board? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we should continue before we pull the thread on that sweater. I think we should just finish the board, and then when we go to the board, we'll read it over and then answer that question.
Okay.
That gives me the visual from the Weezer video, pull the thread as away. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay,
if you want to destroy the sweater of this podcast,
I'm trying to Weezer.
Let's at least delay it.
You know what? Same star, radio star, video star. There's nothing to talk about. Let's just scan it.
Let's just scan local headlines and talk about that.
Great.
Okay, I'm going to put up the rise of Gen X, you know?
Oh, all right.
This is that generation. I'll read some stuff real quick here. This is from Kartoffel Films. Whilst video has undoubtedly had a colossal influence on the world, with internet users spending over 6.5 hours a week watching online videos in 2019, radio is still very much alive and kicking. In fact, radio still reaches 89% of UK adults every week in 2020. Some may attribute this figure with the fact that the older generations make up the majority of radio users. However, 77% of 15 to 24-year-olds still tune in on a weekly basis, suggesting that the medium is still enjoyed amongst all age groups. So the stats suggest that radio is still widely popular. Therefore, we must take a look at as to why radio wasn't killed off by the arrival of widespread visual media, and has in fact thrived during an age allegedly dominated by video. This is from Business Wire. The Gen Xers grew up in the 1980s and 90s, listening to Pearl Jam, Smashing Pumpkins, Nirvana.
Yes.
They spent their childhood and adolescence watching MTV and The Cosby Show, and identified with the characters in the movies The Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Fully 46% were latchkey children whose parents both went to work.
Mm.
Here's what I'm taking away from this is that essentially Gen Xers had it with one form of media, and this new hot medium came out on the market, and they kind of like latched on to that, which... And on the other hand, I feel like this younger generation of like Gen Zers, they have both options, and therefore they're not as biased over, you know, right, about one or the other.
Right.
They have video, they have the visual, they don't really care if they're not wedded to one or the other, you're saying?
Right. They just have the option. So like Gen X, they had the radio, and then suddenly they had MTV, and it's like, like I need my fix, you know,
right.
I need my TV music. But
wasn't that the slogan? Like I want my MTV.
Yeah.
I want my MTV.
Oh, and the reason they made it's a genius campaign that they came up with. MTV was not included in many of the cable packages of the time.
Oh,
and so
smart.
that's how they got themselves into the cable packages. It was like from people requesting, I want my MTV included on there.
Right.
Oh, that's really smart. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
But I think there's also an argument to be made that maybe it's the TikTok generation that's killing the radio star. Because I just read this crazy, I think it's on the cover of Wired this week. Not that I read the physical magazine, but I read it online. But it's a story about this TikTok manager and how basically he'll find stars or, you know, would be TikTok stars who are musicians. And then it's really that he games the algorithm that makes them stars. So you think that like stars are organically being discovered on TikTok, but there's like this whole algorithm. I mean, he started as an SEO specialist. He's like a digital marketer.
Yes.
And he's figured out how to game the TikTok system, and he has all these like rules. And then, you know, he'll find someone and they'll have like 100,000 plays on Spotify. When he's done with them, they'll have like 1.5 million.
So they have visibility. It's like
so he like knows how to literally game the system to like create stars.
I feel, Susie, I'm so glad you brought this up, because I feel like that is this next generation's version of what was happening back then in the 80s, which was the new like the need or the desire for celebrityness, you know, popularity over content, or having something about like the whole package. You want to have the song, but you also want to make sure that the person singing you the song is like cool or hot or, you know, fits.
Or has like the right vibe.
Yeah.
They're sellable. Can we like upscale? How can we sell them on like multiple scales? Like not just the audio, like is there merchandise that we can like, are they hot enough? Are they cool enough? You know what this is also making me think? I just want to get this in there. Susie, I'm so glad that you brought up the TikTok thing. If anything maybe killed the radio star, it is the Spotifys of the world, because they couldn't make any money. All these radio stars, all they complain about now is how they can't make any money. And even the major stars who back in the day, like Mariah Carey, was like, I used to make so much money, and now I'm making like pennies on the dollar for these like streaming things. So it's like, if anything's not helping radio stars trying to break in, it's streaming device or services.
Well, it was the dawn of Napster and the dawn of Spotify.
There you go.
Basically, pirating, or just like the fact that it was easy to pirate
So that goes back to technology, I guess, huh?
Music, yeah. Became like the famous song, Everything Is Free Now. Yeah. But so put up Napster.
For
and put
sure.
up the guy who started Napster. But it's interesting approaching this topic with, did video kill the radio star? Maybe not, but what did, or did something shift the music industry so much so that it, you know,
it disrupted. Made it, much, it definitely disrupted. Yeah, you yeah. know? Like it, we were like, did so we ever, it went from like a very like normal, like you're just, you get played on the radio and sometimes you're on like the Ed Sullivan show. And then suddenly we had like videos and then we got technology and people could pirate your stuff and sell it. And it's like, oh, suddenly you can't right. hang on to your art anymore.
Sean Parker was the guy who co-founded Napster.
Oh, Sean Parker. He's yes. like the villain in every story. He's also the villain in the Facebook story.
Oh,
yeah. Is he?
Yeah, because he's the one who like can. He's, I think, in the movie Social Network, he said he's the one who says to Zuckerberg, like, $1 million isn't cool, like $1 billion is cool. Or is that? I'm probably like, yeah, you know, right. messing yes. the line up, yeah, but yeah. it's like,
yeah. I like it that way, though. $1 million is not
cool. I like a slightly inaccurate yeah. reference. It's perfect.
You know what I find ironic is that the reason the music industry leaned into the video aspect of songs and music was because like we said, they could reach a wider audience without having to be on local television, without having to sorry, our dogs are playing, so we're just going to keep this on the air because there's going to be too many of them. Yeah, yeah.
I too feel many like our dogs moments. Look exactly the same. Is that true? Yes.
Very cute.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They look kind of like a pack. Yeah, pack of brothers. So that was, you know, they wanted to make more money. They wanted to sell more records by expanding the net of people that they could sell to, but it kind of bit them in the buttocks because
buttocks.
That buttocks. Makes it somehow worse. Yes. I don't know.
Because then all of a sudden, I mean, that's what set them off into this new phase where they started to lose money because they had no control over record sales, right? Mm. Because their music is constantly being played for free, and so why would they people need to spend money on their records? Now you have now we have Spotify and all these things, and ironically, the only way artists can now make music is by touring. So we're back right. to
oh yeah
back to square
true.
One.
Right.
I mean, I feel like. And maybe this is too simple because it's like what we like to blame for everything, or at least me personally. But maybe it's just capitalism.
Oh, my like, God. I knew you were going to say it.
I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. It's always capitalism. Yeah. That's what ruins everything.
You're right.
Get it up on the board.
Yes. We could say late stage capitalism. That makes some people are really defensive about the capitalism word, but we could say that if you want. But
I mean, I understand the benefits yes. and, you know, I know why there are some aspects of capitalism we all enjoy.
Yes,
but...
of course.
But I guess we could call it like 80s capitalism, just sure. to be specific. Yeah. Just to be
or specific. Like Reaganomics, if we wanted to just yeah. like throw in Reagan for fun.
Let's yeah.
There's a tie
down.
There. There's
yeah,
a tie.
I don't know what it is, but again, yeah. just feels right.
Okay. Wait, I'm going to have to cut us off. We're going to have to take a quick break and then we'll start knocking things off the board.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Okay, who's to blame for if it's true that did video kill the radio star? MTV, New Zealand, Solid Gold, Thriller, A Need for Globalization, Tech Advancements of the 80s, The Beatles, The Ed Sullivan Show, Human Connection Through a Visual Medium, Joseph Stern and Edward Mark, The Rise of Generation X, TikTok, Napster / Sam Parker, Capitalism, or Reaganomics? George Michael's board. Jacket.
This is a great board.
It's a really great
solid
board.
Solid gold is up on the board.
Yeah, I mean, we've done good work here today, you guys.
We really
they
have.
Should hire us to break some like really big serial killer cases. Yes. The four of us have a chemistry that cannot be denied.
That's true.
And you know that's all about chemistry. Who cares about actually catching the guy? Or woman. Yeah. We're equal opportunities serial killer.
Yes.
Very, very less common though. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
what's we got to
maybe we
this.
Should ask, did video kill the radio star first, Rebecca? What do you think? What's the best way to go about this?
Yeah. I think we have to figure out if it did. And I here's what I think it in a sense it did. And when we're talking about artist who, you know, I'm trying to think of artists who maybe would not have been famous,
right. Or like, you know, if it were not for their music videos, right?
And vice versa, like maybe
right. Who takes up that space if the videos aren't there?
Yeah, it's like it's not about image; it's more about the music,
right?
And yeah, you know, there are a lot of artists who.
Well, I guess inherently there are no longer any just radio stars.
Yes.
So in that sense, the radio star does no longer exist.
Oh my
so
God.
It has been
very
killed.
True.
Yes, you're sense. Right. It has been killed.
Yeah. Right.
It's killed.
You have to be a multimedia star now.
Yeah, yeah. You're so right.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, that's almost a great way of putting it. Wow.
So we solved that.
Check.
We were just thinking about it wrong the whole time. And Susie just like that cleared it all up.
I'm glad we waited till the last minute to figure that one out.
My brain works slowly, but it gets there.
Okay, so then who's to blame?
So yeah, so they're dead and we need to figure this out. So then if that's the case, I don't think the Beatles...
Nah.
No. And I don't, and poor Ed Sullivan. What did he do? We can take him off.
Yeah.
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 I'm the one who suggested both of those, though. So I love how I'm like, yeah, who did that? Who put those on the board? Moron.
What about New Zealand?
New Zealand?
That's like, it seems like could be planting a seed, but who, I mean, that's kind of speculative to say that kind of then so many years later leads to.
I think they yeah. just wanted access.
Yeah. They're just trying to break in.
Yeah. So we can take New Zealand off. Joseph Stern and Edward Mark, they didn't like feature themselves in their paintings.
That feels too random.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It feels too far afield, you know? Yeah. I don't even know who those, I can't even remember who those people are. They sing the song.
No,
I don't even know.
The sheet music. the little lost child. Like,
these guys were born in like the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah. Right? They're like,
I've like already forgotten about these two. So sorry for these two men. What's the famous line? Like, I don't know who this man is. Sorry to this man.
Yeah. I don't know if that's it, but I like it.
It's the Kiki Palmer looking at, I think, like Dick Cheney.
I don't know this.
While they are villains in this sort of music conversation more broadly, TikTok and Napster are in this case just not to blame, I don't think.
I think they're like part of the evolution.
Yeah.
They come later on.
They just come later.
Yeah.
No, totally.
I don't think. It's a good call.
I mean, I guess like capitalism is like, you could just blame everything on that. Cause so that's kind of like a lame one, you know, that's just like being like evil, you know, or like being bad. It's like,
and I don't think initially that when people were like making videos, I mean, I guess you could like, if you really got down to it, it's like about like more visibility, which means more money and popularity. But like, it seemed like there was it wasn't just them like singing the song on the soundstage. There was an artistic element to the videos, right? So there was some form of artistry music video that was, I think, part of the impulse to transition.
Right.
To
it wasn't just about making money.
Yeah.
Although someone certainly did make a lot of money on MTV.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I guess with that can go Reaganomics. Again, a thing I like to blame, but probably isn't the blame for this thing.
You just made me think of, you know, when you were talking about artistry, have you guys actually seen the video of Video Killed the Radio Star?
Yes. I watched it today, actually.
Oh, geez.
It's like flashy and bizarro, right?
It's wild. And so lo-fi.
Right. But like the song is still very catchy. Like I was still singing along.
Yes.
And they
a really good song.
Didn't you in your research, I read somewhere that they broke up like 2 years after the
thing aired. They broke up. It was kind of a flash in the pan.
And a real one-hit wonder, right? Or am I mistaken? Do they have another other hits?
And I think so.
From the video, it looks like there was the one guy who was really carrying the whole band. And then the other guy in the piano in the back was just there for the ride.
Collecting a paycheck. Didn't look
like he wanted to be there. So.
All right.
Okay.
So there's 5, 6 left. Do you want to read them?
Yeah. We've got MTV. We've got Solid Gold. I think Solid Gold could... Well, yeah.
I mean, because then why not American Bandstand? That's a similar kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. We have Thriller. We've got A Need for Globalization, which actually we shifted that, right? It was more...
Yeah, like video made globalization possible, so the radio followed. So,
I think we can take that off.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, globalization was happening.
Not because, people weren't trying to globalize through music videos.
Right.
That was just part of... That was in the whole like diaspora of like
it was happening.
Globalization. I don't think that was.
It was like the byproduct.
Yes.
And it was a result of the tech advancements that were
exactly.
in the '80s. So we could pull that into.
Let me ask a question about the tech advancements.
Okay,
sure.
Was the '80s when people started to use digital cameras? Like part of the reason you could make music videos is that you had digital cameras versus just film cameras, which were too expensive.
Right. Yes, actually, you're correct. I was going to
that is
up
also
on the board.
A contributing factor.
Yes.
To the tech advancement
of
the '80s.
Video recorder here.
There you go.
Big time.
I should have.
Yeah, 1975.
Yeah.
So yeah, 80s were probably, yep. So
I mean,
it was just
cheaper.
So that's also like a big piece of the
totally
advancement.
Equation.
Yeah. That we would have rolled that into the tech advancement, I think, the digital camera specifically, right?
I think we can roll the tech advancement into the video recorder. Oh, I didn't finish reading these. Human connection through a visual medium is also still up on the board, and so is the rise of Generation X.
Hmm.
Where are you leaning?
Now it's a tough board. Now. Yeah.
I feel like we should leave Generation X alone. Like, they get enough, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm like basically Gen X geriatric millennial, and yeah, I just feel like we suffer enough, you know?
We've taken enough heat over the years. Give me a break.
You were victims of what you consumed.
Yeah.
There was, like, you know, we didn't have a lot of choices.
And if anything, it was the generation before that was actually creating the content that you were consuming.
Mm-hmm.
That it's then true. Created
very fair
the
very
Gen
fair.
X model, right? You know, so what? What's before Gen X? Is it Boomers before Gen X?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So
you're boomers. Like, there must be someone in between.
Boomers have it all.
Okay. I'm looking.
We
at
could
you
just
boomers.
Blame the boomers. We do. That's another favorite of mine.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Throw one in.
Yeah. Should
we put them up real quick.
At least instead of Gen X.
Instead of Gen X, it feels like that's the right angle. Right.
Yep.
It's always the boomers.
I think we can take them off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for showing up.
Late entrant and easy exit.
Exactly.
So I feel like. I don't think we can blame Thriller.
Yes, I agree. I was just going to say that.
No, in fact, now we know that Thriller helped combat racism. It's a mm-hmm. hero, not a victim, a villain.
Indeed. This is hard.
Okay.
Because these three things all feel related. Like MTV, the tech advancements of the 80s, and human connection through a visual medium are all kind of like sides of the same three-sided coin.
It's true.
And, you know, I was like, that's not a thing.
Sides of the same three-sided coin.
Yeah.
Because coins are triangles.
Yeah. I couldn't. I was like, what is the thing I'm grasping for?
Edge.
Oh, that's good, Clayton.
Yeah. Thank you, Clayton. I made a ridged edge holding it all together.
Yeah.
Thank you, Clayton, for trying to make my nonsensical metaphor work.
Here's what I'm leaning towards. I think we send MTV to the alarmist jail, and I think we slap...
it's hard to blame people's
technology or connection. Yeah.
I feel like it's like, that's not a bad thing to have like, you know,
a human connection.
Yeah. Through like visual, like stimuli. I don't think that's like inherently bad.
But it's not bad. But what we're talking about is also, we need to keep in mind, is not necessarily a catastrophe in the sense
that
terrible thing didn't happen. It's just what happened was this.
What influence
shift.
Oh, true.
Right.
True.
So then if that's the case, then we slap the visual medium.
Let me ask you this though. Would there be an MTV without the tech advancements of the 80s?
No.
Like if you couldn't make all those videos on the cheap, do you still think the studios would be shelling out so much money to make expensive music videos?
No way.
You're right.
That's why you had cable television. That's why you had MTV.
So what you're saying is that the tech advancement would go in jail and MTV would be the second?
I think MTV goes to jail for this one.
Okay.
Wow.
And okay. Tech advancement gets a slap.
Sure.
I'm fine with that. Yeah.
I can live with it. I mean, so much will happen to MTV as a result of this. So I just want to be careful.
Yeah,
I know. The power that we've been given.
Don't worry. We're all lawyered up. We have a huge team of attorneys that are on retainer.
Here's the thing. You can't watch music videos on MTV anymore. So if
they don't play them. That's what's bizarro.
It's true. Honestly, that is what MTV should be in jail for.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, I don't need to see the 7th season or the 80th season of Basketball Wives. I'm good. Play me some music videos.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I'm going to call it.
Okay.
Tech advancements of the 80s. You're getting a big slap. MTV, you're going to the alarmist jail. And we did it. We figured out what we were blaming and then we blamed it.
There you go.
When there's nothing to blame, just make it up. Make up something to blame and then blame it.
Don't be afraid to ask the question.
Yeah.
That's an important life philosophy I agree with.
Susie, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us get to the bottom of who killed the radio star.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like I really learned a lot and I really thought about things in a more thoughtful way. It's like really been helpful for me personally.
We're so happy to help.
So go watch our favorite
music. This is a self-help podcast now.
Yeah. Yes. Go watch some music videos.
In the aftermath, the global music industry continues to grow and as of 2023 is a $26 billion industry. And a whopping 67% of music is consumed by way of streaming platforms. So we might have another hit song on our hands. Did streaming kill the video star? The Alarmist is now on Patreon. Subscribe and get ad-free content along with bonus episodes. Go to Patreon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Patreon.com/TheAlarmist or check out the link in our show description. Visit our website, www.TheAlarmistPodcast.com and follow us on Instagram, @TheAlarmistPodcast and on Twitter, @AlarmistThe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to TheAlarmistPodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early with editing by Molly Hockey and fact-checking by Chris Smith. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Crystal Dinsberg. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado-Smith. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Thanksgiving Day disaster. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.